worthy to be praised. Amen. What I like the most in that song, he says, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. And what that means, you done lost. Put it in simple terms. You done lost. Amen.
Yeah, we got you
back. Yes, sir. You have done lost.
Yes.
And that's not good English, but it's the truth for all right now. So we're going to go right ahead without any further delay. I want to thank God for the visitors who are in the house with us today. Amen. Some of you have been before, some haven't. We thank God that you chose to worship with us today. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead, not to prolong the time, and have you take a look with me in a few passages of Scripture, just a few verses out of the Old Testament from the book of the Psalms. As Brother G has mentioned, in Psalms number 103, a Psalm of David. Just the first four verses we'll be looking at briefly. And also from the New Testament, we want to talk a little bit about Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 10 to 12, which we alluded to in our message on last week. And if for any reason you were not here for that, you can rehear that lesson. It's online at the sttmbc.org. And it will connect you to teachingbible.org. Those are our web homes on the web. Amen. So let's read this together. I want you to read this with me from the Psalms number 103, starting at verse number 1. A Psalm of David. Let us read. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? That's the Psalm number 103, the first four verses. And now somewhat akin to it in the book of the Hebrew writer writes here in chapter number 4, starting at the 10th verse, these words read with me. For he that is entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us therefore enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary in the presence of the Lord. And we want to use a topic today for this message, nurturing the soul in the victory of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Nurturing the soul in the victory of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, you all know we've been talking about this, and you may want to do some catch up if you want to get the back lessons that have led up to this point in the study. We've been talking about the soul. The soul is in need of being saved. And we've been talking about that. We talked about how the soul is one of three components of the human makeup, being body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
And I think they're in that order for a special reason. The body, the soul, and the spirit. The body is physical. Everybody sees the body as it does whatever it does. You know, we all see what the body does. And the soul is in there in the midst. We said that God started, and I'm not going to be able to back over all the points we made, but we just want to say that when he said, let us make man in our image, he was talking about a spiritual image. And there was no physical body.
Right.
Until he said he picked up some dust and formed it into a body, and then he deposited that image of God into that body that he had made. We mentioned that in the previous lessons. He breathed into his nostrils, the scripture says, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. See, so the body possesses a soul and the spirit there in the midst there. And the soul and the spirit are very difficult to understand the difference. And so that was part of the reason why we wanted to do this study on the soul. Because it is your soul that needs to be saved. And the reason is the soul is free. We can understand the body. We know sometimes we see what the body does, but what causes the body to do what it does? That is the soul and the spirit. Mm-hmm. See, the spirit of man is one thing and the soul of man is another thing, and they're very difficult for us to discern the difference. Mm-hmm. And so how do we nurture a soul in our body? We've been talking about that. We said that the battlefield is right here. The devil wants to take your soul and have you cast into hell. You see, when the soul that sinneth, we looked at in the book of Ezekiel, shall die. That soul shall die. And so there's a sentence of death to the soul, and that's the part that we're talking about. Now, we kind of give some definition. During the series, we've talked about how the soul is the active part, the mind, the will, and the emotions. The soul is inside the body making decisions about what the body does. And we talked about the fact that we are held accountable for the decisions that we make.
Yes, we are.
So in other words, if the soul makes bad decisions, the body will be involved in behaviors that are not good.
Yep.
And so that's why we need to be saved.
Amen.
God is saving us from the things our soul wants to do. Sometimes. And the Bible says the soul that sinneth, you notice where the guilt is placed on the soul. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. See, it's not so much the body. The body only does what the soul tells it to do. And so we're talking about accountability in the sight of a holy God. Now, God has given man a perfect soul, and then we know that Adam chose to sin, and then that marred the human soul. It made the human soul tainted, or so to speak. It took away the holiness that was there, full, complete holiness, and gave man a soul that was tainted with sin. And God, therefore, had to become his Savior. And so God did not want man to have that plight. And the disease of sin, I want to let you know, the scripture refers to it as disease. Disease means something that is out of the normal, out of the usual. If you break the word down, it's dis-ease, something that is not at ease. It's out of psych, out of sync with what it should be. Even if it's in the body, I might have something growing on my leg that's not supposed to be there. We might call it a disease or something to that effect. Different things that are out of order, bacteria that shouldn't be there, or something that causes some growth or something in the body that should not be there. We call it disease. Now the soul is also able to be diseased. And we come with a diseased soul, tainted with sin. David said, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. He talks about how deep that problem that man has is. And what we've been talking about is how to get the soul to be on the side with God.
Yes. Amen.
The side with God, to walk with God, to do what God wants us to do, how to have victory in our soul. And so this is the reason why, and there's a big debate that goes on in theological circles about his salvation once and for all. This is kind of what spurred our thinking on this subject. And I want to say that I believe that it is, because the reason is God is the one doing it, but you are still responsible.
Amen.
The soul is responsible for every action and every choice that it makes. And the reason for that is God wants you to be free.
Yes.
Freedom is a part of a necessity for love. You cannot have love if you do not have freedom.
Amen.
And so I wanted to emphasize that. There is no love without freedom. So God wants us to truly, freely with our soul choose to obey him and do what is right. And so he knew we could not do that apart from his help. And so you know what he did? We're just going to capsulize this, and then we can get into this lesson of how to nurture the soul in the victory of Jesus Christ. He knew that throughout all of mankind, throughout all the time from Adam on up to this second, there's not been one soul that was born that was holy.
That's right.
Except one. There's only been one, and that's when he intervened and became flesh.
Yes.
And that's what we record in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. That was the only man that walked on this earth whose soul was perfectly holy in the sight of God. And that's why the Bible says there's one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. And so since it was a man who was at fault when the soul was contaminated, God had already spoken before that happened in eternity past that he would prepare a body for his own son. And send him into time to correct the fault and the problem and the disease of the soul. Last week we looked at James. James says that we are to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another. Notice what he said, that you may be healed.
Yes.
Healed. Wait a minute. The soul needs to be healed? I thought that was for the body. No, that your soul might be healed. There's a soul healing that we need.
Amen.
And that's how we're going to work it out. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I can abide in absolute victory.
Yes.
And know it right. Amen. Well up front. So God has put his whole side of this deal in exposure.
Mm-hmm.
It's open before everybody in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He said nobody was holy. I sent my own son who was holy.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. What you know what the choices that people made were to crucify the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that the taintedness and the sickness of the soul would come even against him and crucify his own son. That shows you the depth of the sickness of the human soul.
Yes.
God would come in the midst, the very creator. He would be found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And God had already written it in the book centuries before it happened.
Amen.
Because he knew what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was known in eternity that this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came perfect, spotless, without a wrinkle, holy before God. The only perfect priest, the only perfect mediator.
That's right.
The reason he's a perfect mediator is because he not only fully represents God, because he is God, the Son, but he also fully represents man.
That's right. Amen.
He is the only advocate that understands both sides of the situation.
Oh, yeah.
He understands that God is holy. He understands man is not. But he came as holy God in the flesh in order to pay the bill and wash the souls of whoever believes in him. And to declare victory. That song we just sang is a declaration of the victory.
Yeah.
Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you.
Yeah.
That means you done lost. And y'all heard me say that earlier. You done lost. How did you lose? Jesus' blood shed on Calvary conquered you. And God has given us the victory. So we can give him all the praise. That's what we just sang.
Hallelujah.
And so now that you live in victory, it's not a victory that we earned or that we deserved. But it's a victory that has been bestowed upon us.
Right.
John said, brethren, behold what manner of love has been bestowed upon us. You know that? Because to bestow means to give is a free gift.
Yes.
So this is why I believe salvation cannot be lost. Because if you receive the gift, it's from God.
That's right.
It's perfect.
Amen.
That's what James said, right? Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. You don't have to worry about him changing.
No,
neither shadow of turning.
That's right.
Whatever he did it open and open face. It's been broadcast, published, and preached in the world.
Yeah.
And so he did it to give you the victory, just like that song says.
Yeah.
So now God has given you a status of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that soul that was in there that we talked about still got issues.
Yeah.
It's still tainted.
Yeah.
It's still connected to a body that who knows how long it was before you got saved. Some of you were fortunate enough to be brought up in a godly home where you went to church and you understood the truth.
Yeah.
You understood the gospel. And you lived in a certain type of atmosphere that was conducive to you making good choices.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones of us, that was not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us started out that way, and then when the flesh kicked in, we went over into another category.
Yeah.
Some of us have never heard any of this, and it sounds like a foreign language.
Amen.
You see? But the good news is no matter where you are in that paradigm,
right.
God loves you.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
And what he did has been published and is written in all the world, and the church has been commanded to preach it to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
Until he returns. And we don't know when that'll be.
Yeah.
Jesus got a surprise visit planned.
Yeah.
It's going to astonish all kinds of people.
Yeah.
People are going to be caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a thief in the night. That's what he said.
Yeah.
You won't know when it's coming and you won't know how it's coming. You'll be saying peace and safety, he said.
Yeah.
And sudden destruction will come upon them.
Wow.
As birth pangs upon a woman with child. That's what he said. Right? It's going to be a total surprise because people aren't listening to God. But what I want to talk to you about, you who do trust God, and if you're hearing me today, know that God loves you
yes.
just like you are. He fixed it so you can come just as you are. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, when I get my life together, I'm going to join the church. No, you ain't going to ever join the church if that's the case. Because you need to join the church in order to get your life together. That's a part of it. Last week, that's why James said, confess your faults, what did he say, one to another. What is that? A group of like-minded people who understand the disease of the soul.
Yes.
That we all are tainted with something.
Yes, we are.
We need the support of one another who are like-minded to lean on.
Yes.
In order to help. There are people in this room who have conquered tremendous sin. I'm one of them. I was in bondage and enslaved to many things. And I have gotten freedom over those things through the word of God. God nurtures you and brings you along, but he wants you to be in an atmosphere of people who understand what you're going through. And that's what the church is. The church family is a group of people who know what you're going through.
That's right.
We know, and we accept you because God accepts you.
Yes, we do.
We take you just like you are. And God's going to work with you just like he does with us.
Yes, he will.
And he promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. He said, oh, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, once we enter into that relationship with God, this is what we're talking about. We have total victory. That's to be part of our name of our message in Christ, because God provided it. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent.
Amen.
Whatever he said, he is well able to do it.
Yes, he is.
And now we have history recording that he has already done it. Been done.
Yep.
You know, the world is configured around his son.
That's right. Amen.
Right now today. And I don't care what else you believe. If you don't ever pick up the Bible, your calendar tells you 2018 years ago, Jesus was born.
That's right. Amen.
And that's important. A very important credential. And God made it that way so it will be easy for you to believe him and accept him. When you hear this other stuff coming from the devil, tell him to show me some proof, dude. The fact is, you don't have any. The blood of Jesus is against you. God configured this world, even though it hates him and crucified his son, around the crucified son. How did that happen? The way that happened, God did it.
God did it.
And one of the things we expect the devil to do before it's done, God's already pulled the cover off of him, is they're going to change seasons and times, it says in one prophecy. And I believe that time is coming. We don't know when it'll be, but God gives us insight into things that he is doing. So, and he does this so that we can have information in the word. God's word is complete, it's whole, it's not missing anything. Everything you need is in the book.
Amen.
Everything we need is in the book. The part that you don't get is in the fellowship. When the church is together, you'll get stuff you didn't get when you were just in the book by yourself. That's why you need the fellowship and you need the book.
Amen.
See, we need the book and we need the fellowship. See, and you put them together and it's a system. God has always had a group of people sanctified for his own possession. Sanctified just means I'm setting you apart for particular purposes. It doesn't mean what some people make you think it means today. It means that you walk without a stain and you're spotless and totally free from sin. No, it doesn't mean that. But you know what? No one is like that. There isn't a soul on the planet that doesn't need what the church provides in fellowship. So God did this so that we could nurture our soul away from the sinful things that it does, away from the godless things that it does, and bring us into a state of accountability one with another to move forward into the likeness of his son. The only one who satisfied him.
That's right.
Propitiation,
amen.
The big fancy theological word, means that Jesus has completely covered us and is the only acceptable sacrifice to God. No one else has or can satisfy God.
Amen.
But Jesus has already satisfied God. That's why we say there is a victory when you're in Christ. Total victory. If Jesus is doing it, you can't mess it up. So there's some people who are professing but not possessing because they don't understand that it's Jesus and he gets all the glory, not me. See, they're professing but they're not possessing because they don't give Jesus all the glory. See, he has total victory over sin and death. The psalmist is such a person here. We're just going to take a glimpse at David. Now, everybody who knows about the Old Testament has heard about King David, one of the most famous human kings in all of time. They still talk about David over there in Israel right now and all around the world. He writes this psalm. He was not only a king, but he was also a prophet.
That's right. Amen.
He was a prophet. God used him to prophesy or to speak his word. And what does he say? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's an instruction that he gives himself to direct his soul to give glory to God. Bless means to speak well. Speak well of the Lord, my soul. He's speaking that to himself. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself. Some of y'all don't know about that, though. Sometimes you got to say, soul, you got to get this together. So David says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. See, he's commanding everything that he has control over within him, or that he does not. Bless his holy name. In other words, he gets the glory. He alone is holy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Look at the benefits he's given you. You want to talk about a benefits factor? He got you covered on every side. Don't forget all his benefits. If you don't, then you're going to bless him. You're going to speak well of him. Look at what he provided you with. Look at what he saved you from. Look at what he pulled you out of. Look at what he pushed you into. Look at the stuff that he made available to you. See, look at what he kept you away from. Look at all these kind of things. See, and he says, and how do you know that? Looking at verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? See, iniquities are built in, born in tendencies to do wrong. We have a proclivity to do wrong. We are attracted to sinful stuff from ourselves because of the iniquity. That means it's out of order, it's twisted, broken when it came in. Like you get the package and you open it and it's already broken. Iniquity is built in fallenness. But notice what it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Don't let that trouble you, because he's forgiven you of all your iniquities. And it says, who healeth all thy diseases. Wow. He heals all our diseases. That means the disease of the soul, the disease of the mind, the disease of the body, the disease of the spirit. He healeth all. That healeth, and that's why I use the King James here. ETH on the end of a word. Some of you who study with me know that means something that happened at a moment and it continues on up until the very second in which we are talking. He healeth all your diseases.
Mama!
And that doesn't exclude physical healing, because he's done that for
us
too.
That's true.
But notice what it says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Your life and your soul are kind of synonymous almost. Because what you do with your soul is your life.
That's right.
It's the choices you made and the consequences that came as a result of the choices that you made. See, so that's why you don't just say, oh, I'm saved, now I'm going to go head on over here with Satan. No. That soul is not saved. That soul is not thinking about God. That soul has lifted up his soul to vanity, like the Bible says. See, but the soul that says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name.
See,
that's what we want to do. We want to turn our soul over to God to be cleansed and nurtured and to be taught. God says to Joshua and a number of other people, he said, do not let the book of this law depart from out of your mouth, but meditate therein, what? Day and night. Keep your mind in my word.
Yes.
And I'm going to be cleansing you.
Yes, Lord.
Paul, writing to Titus, said that he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Who he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
See, the Holy Spirit moves in. When you accept Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, he moves in. He doesn't leave it up to you totally. But you know what? You're still free.
That's right.
He didn't move in to put you in shackles and chains.
Right.
He moved in to reveal to you God's word.
Yes.
He moved in to help you make right decisions.
Amen.
He moved in to lead you and guide you toward God instead of toward the flesh, the world of the devil.
Amen.
So that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you.
Amen.
It's to direct you and guide you. But he leads you. He doesn't push you. We said that last week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But he is there, and he's there to help you sift through this word, because the word is holy.
Amen.
And without the Spirit, we will not understand the word.
No way.
And so God gives the Spirit to whoever believes that Jesus Christ paid their bill entirely, gave them the victory of Calvary, where he defeated the devil, the grave. He defeated everything. everything that's something against you.
Right.
And God about the grace and all power is given to me. So when you accept Christ, you accept his victory. And you say, that's why we sing that song, Victory is Mine. Because I'm clinging on to Jesus with all my might.
Oh, yes, sir.
Then not only that, but he sends in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to lead you and guide you to all truth. Mm-hmm. He's there to interpret Amen. God's word to you.
Amen.
He's in there to strengthen you and comfort you. Mm-hmm. He's in there to rebuke you if you're out of order.
Amen.
He's in there for every purpose, just to govern the soul, to nurture it toward godliness.
Amen.
Simply put, we could write that in a book, but we're going to leave that out. But so what I want you to see, the psalmist knew all this. Mm-hmm. He forgiveth all that iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's a great description of the work of the Spirit in your life. Now, how do we get here? We're going to get to it in 1 minute and I can wrap up my thoughts. Discipleship is the primary vehicle by which God has chosen to administer nurturing and wholesome development to the ones who believe in him, which are the same ones who in return for the receipt of the abundance of grace and mercy offered by God, who are adjusted in their way of thinking into his way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
God is teaching you to think like he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
He's teaching you to love what he loves.
Yeah.
He's teaching you to walk in a way that's acceptable and pleasing in his sight.
Yeah.
And so discipleship is how he accomplishes that in your life.
Like, amen.
You don't just get saved and say, okay, now I'm going to go on and do whatever I want to do. No, you want to learn from him.
Right.
And that's what Jesus said, come unto me, what, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's the rest of not carrying the burden of how am I going to stand on judgment day.
That's right.
Before holy God. That's a weight there, buddy. Let me let you know. See, but he gives you rest. He says, I take that load off of you because I covered you with my blood.
Yes.
On Calvary, I died for your sins.
Yes.
Got out the grave to show you that I had accomplished perfectly what God required. And the question there is, who else got out the grave?
Nobody.
Come on now. He caused the folk out the grave to come back for temporal life just to prove that he was God.
He went back.
But they had to go back. He got up and declared all power.
It's
given to me in heaven and earth.
Yeah.
They said, go ye therefore and teach all the nations. That's where the discipleship piece comes in. Go and teach all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Big project that he gave to those 12 men.
Big project.
See, it was just 11. Of course, Judas betrayed him.
Yeah.
Judas had ulterior motives. We're going to talk about him this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But the other ones he sent out, he added Paul to the number,
mm-hmm.
told them to go and teach all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
It was effective. We're in America,
yeah.
and we've heard the gospel.
Yeah.
And the church is being filled with disciples who believe him.
Mm-hmm.
See, and so the ministry he established was effective. Didn't take a lot of people to get it done.
No.
See, and that's why you know it's a God thing.
Mm-hmm.
He took a handful of people and turned the world upside down.
Upside down.
See, now notice this. The psalmist David knew that fellowship with God was the key to having a life of dedication and devotion to God. And through the training of all areas of the soul to include God, so that his soul was vividly aware of the presence of God and promoted his love and appreciation of God, and was the pervasive manner of his soul.
Yeah.
He said, I direct my soul to magnify the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So get the soul going in the right direction. We're going to be all right.
Yeah.
Now I want you to see how that happens here. Let's look at Hebrews 4:10 and we can start to wrap up our thoughts. For he that is entered into his rest, in other words, I'm not struggling with how am I going to get saved. How will God accept me? Why? Because I already know he shouldn't. There's no reason why he should accept me. None at all. And the only reason he does is he loves you anyway.
Amen.
And he gave Jesus to cover you. So I can accept you.
Amen.
I accept you because you accept him.
Yes.
Whoever believes in him will not perish. That's what he said, right? He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He wants to save the world. God never changed. When man went into corruption, God never changed. He had no reason to change. He loved man when he made him. He said, let us make man in our image. Who blew it? Adam.
Yep.
Now, the iniquity of Adam is passed down to everybody. Christ is the only correction for that iniquity. Whoever believes in him is covered and has the victory. So he says, notice here, for he that has entered into his rest, in other words, I'm not sitting here now thinking, oh, let me see how much good can I do so God will accept me. I got to fill up the good side of the scale so this bad side won't overpower the good side. No. I lay all that hassle down, I trust Christ, and I receive the victory. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit.
My Lord.
The Spirit is directing my steps. Trust in the Lord, what did he say? With all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. See, he'll make your path straight. He'll be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path.
Amen.
So he that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. In other words, I'm not doing good works to satisfy God. I'm doing good works because God has mercy and he saved me.
Yes. Amen.
He has so chosen to save me so that I can walk in good works.
Yeah.
For by grace I have been saved through faith, and that not of myself, it is the gift of God. Yeah. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
That's right.
So if I boast, I'm going to be like David. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Hallelujah.
And all that's within me.
My Lord.
Bless his holy name.
Yeah.
I'm going to give the glory to him.
Yeah.
Notice what the writer says. Even though you're not working, he said you've rested from your works. Verse 11, let us labor therefore. Well, I thought we wasn't working here. Well, what's this labor? Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. In other words, if you're still struggling with how is God going to accept me, and you don't understand that Jesus is the only way, then you're struggling with your own self. You're trying to make yourself right.
That's right.
It won't work. God only accepts Jesus.
That's right.
Talking about a carte blanche or MasterCard and Visa accepted here. No, only the MasterCard, Jesus. He's the only one that can get you right.
The only one.
And if you accept him, you've been made right. The victory is yours. That's why we're saying nurturing the soul in the victory of Christ Jesus. So we're in his victory. That's how I made it into the church. I don't deserve to be here. I haven't done anything worthy to be here. I am not so holy that I need to be here. I just trust Christ and he empowers me to be here. So he gives me the victory and I give him the praise. Now notice this. He says, let us therefore labor. In other words, we're going to have to be like the psalmist. Tell your soul what to do. Pray and ask God to feed my soul what I should do. And all of that. That's what it is. Involve yourself in understanding his word. Because his word, you're going to see that in the next verse. Notice this. He says, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the sample, same example of unbelief. There were some people who didn't believe. They saw all the works of God and still didn't believe. Got in the wilderness and said, what'd you bring us over here for to kill us with starvation? Back in Egypt, we had onions and melons and leeks and garlic and flesh pots, and now I'm eating this miserable bread. They talked about the bread that God supplied them with in the wilderness. See, so don't fall into that example of unbelief. Trust God. If he says eat bread today, bread is good enough for me. Whatever he says, I don't have to have a steak. Necessarily.
Amen.
Put that in your spiritual cap and chew on it there for a minute.
All right.
But notice what he says here, verse 12. We can wrap this up. For the word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, the word of God helps you sift through the complex nature of the human psyche and the human mind and the human soul. Nothing else can do it. You know what? There's Freudian psychologists. There's all kinds of different folks out here who have all kinds of philosophies, you know, and they have come and gone. And there's so many people, they're going to give you, say you got some kind of a this, that, or the other disorder. What you probably have is a lack of faith in God. If you trust God, he said, I can cleanse you, sanctify you, heal you, and deliver you.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to put down human doctors or any of that. But I'm just saying, the word of God alone is the word that assists in the separation of the soul and the spirit, working as a two-edged sword to provide clarity of understanding, even if it takes a while to digest the glory of the magnitude of who we are becoming as we learn the ways of God unto a true state of confidence where we trust God about everything.
Amen.
So you got to learn to trust Him about everything.
Everything.
Think about the areas in your life that have not been surrendered to God. Everybody has them.
Mm-hmm.
Not just you. The devil wants you to think you're the only one in here that's tripping off of some kind of a situation.
That's right.
And I'm going to isolate you and get you over here so I can really whoop you over the head with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't come in here and find out everybody in here has got issues and God is helping
yes,
you fix
we do.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
working
we
on
will.
Stuff right here.
Yeah.
We're not all pristine and holy. We're heading that way.
Yeah.
We dedicate our soul to the Lord.
Yeah.
We live in the victory of the gospel of Christ.
Yes, we do.
See, but everybody's got something they're dealing with. I promise you.
Amen.
Not just in here, but everywhere.
Yeah. That's right.
You know what? You aren't handling it so well if you're out of here and you haven't heard this good news.
Amen.
The good news, I can be in here and learn and grow and share it with others. That's what God wants you to do. So nurturing the soul in the victory of Jesus Christ is what you and I need. And if you haven't done that, I want to plead with you right now in the name of Jesus that you do it right away. It's the most important decision that has to be made in life.
Oh yes.
Where do I stand with God? God wants you to know for sure I've covered you. But I won't force you to do anything. God is not forcing you. He wants you to come of your own free will, surrender to the Lord. And if you do that, He said, I will guide you and lead you. You know what? People who are in Christ have a greater threshold of ability to handle all kinds of pressurized situations.
Yes, we do.
You ever go to a funeral with people who didn't know God and see the misery that's in the
room?
It's always terrible. Go to a home going when everybody knew the person was saved.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is beautiful. Because this person had dedicated themselves to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere is just different.
Yes, it is.
You know, anything you're dealing with, I don't care what it is. People are always talking about a lot of pervasive things are in the news. It amazes me the stuff they talk about on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff that's going on. They were passing out literature to a school of kids out in Bourbon, Missouri, I saw on the news, asking them, what sexual orientation are you? Are you lesbian, bi, or gay, or... To little kids. You know what? I never heard any of that at all until I was nearly in high school. When I was growing up. Now, you're going to put it on the plate of a small child without their parents' permission? So that lets you see how the world is thinking.
Yes, it is.
And if you're dealing with all that, folk in the church dealing with all that right now.
That's right.
Who are struggling with such things.
That's true, Pastor.
God has fixed him.
Yes, He has.
And if you listen to Him and walk with Him by faith and not by sight, He'll help you.
Yes, He will.
You know, and we receive you. I don't sit here and say you can't come here. Yes, you can. This is the only place you can come.
Yes.
You need to come right here so you can hear the truth.
Yes.
And understand, you're not the only one that's dealing with that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are dealing with it too.
Yes.
We love you anyway.
Yes, we do.
God said, He loves you. Who am I to say, well, I can't accept you? Who do you think you are? You know, I have to accept you.
Mm-hmm.
I accept you. I'm a disciple. You teach you how to be able to be like David and say, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. You see, that's what, where you have to be. Amen. So let us stand just for a minute. If you're not saved, I want to ask you to trust Christ today. It'll be the best decision you ever made. I want to testify to you right now with the best decision I ever made in all my life.
Me too.
True. You know, I wasn't perfect when I made it. I'm not perfect now, but I know I've lived in the victory of Jesus Christ. I'm better than I was back when I first heard about it. Got an understanding of it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, I am. And my soul, I say like the psalmist, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord. See?
Bless.
And I'm going to be in His Word because the Word is discerning the thoughts and the intents of my heart, showing me what's right, what's wrong, and how to guide my soul in the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless You, we praise You. We thank You for the good Word that You give us, Lord, that You teach us how to walk by faith and not by sight. What we see sometimes, Father, is contrary to who we are and all of that and who You are. And so, Father, we just need that help to make right decisions, to be a shoulder for somebody else to lean on, Father, to be able to just walk into the truth, oh God. And Father, we thank you for everything you did already from the beginning up to this very second in our lives. And Father, we pray you deepen our dedication, Lord, that we might know who we are in Jesus Christ. We pray for victory and grace to everyone in the room. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. We want to lift up a special word, Father, for those who are out sick. And some who are in bereavement, Father, whoever they are, we ask you to send your comforting spirit, ministering angels, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. If there's anybody not saved that's hearing this message, Father, save them right now. They accept Christ to be their Lord and Savior and guide them into the church for the fellowship that they need. Continue the therapy. We want to give you all the honor, all the praise, all the glory. And the saints of God said,
Amen.
Amen. God of praise. Amen. And we want to give you an invitation if you'd like to become a member of St. Timothy. We give you that invitation right now. Come to the front. Amen. We open the door. We, as I always like to say, we roll out the red carpet for you. Amen. Come on and join up with us, and you'll find that we are a good place to be with people who understand you, like-minded people who will share the goodness and the mercy of God with you. Amen. We see that we have done as God commands, and yet there are none, but yet there's room. So we pray you did get a good word from the message today. Amen.